probably 45, my sex drive, I feel, is getting higher. Men's tend to lower as they get older.
Yeah.
What do you suggest with couples that are getting older in their 40s, 50s? What do you suggest to them to help them improve or kind of balance or whatever it is to let them know or communicate? What's your advice to those people?
One of the things that I always talk to my clients about it is having sexy, like recurrent sexy happy hour on your calendar. Sexy happy hour is like a time maybe once a month or once a week that you and your partner wear something sexy and you're talking about your sexual life. It could be like every Friday night for 30 minutes, we're talking about our sexual life. We're talking about what's working and what do we want more of. Because sometimes, you know, it's interesting when we're younger, if we're thinking about sex as a point system, it's come from one of my colleagues, Dr. Batshiva, that she talks about sex as a point system. Like before, 100% of your points were coming from physiological.
And we're going to introduce our special guest, Dr. Mo Ali. Give her a round of applause. Hello, doctor. Thank you for being here.
Hello there. I'm very excited about this conversation. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, we've been excited absolutely. All week to talk with you.
Yes. And for the guests who are going to be listening, can you tell them a little bit about yourself? We included it in your bio, but that doesn't do it justice. Tell them who you are.
Well, thank you for that opportunity. As you mentioned, my name is Dr. Nazanin Mo'ali. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist in the state of California. And also, I'm an ASAC certified sex therapist. I have two podcasts, they're called Sexology. So you can find it wherever you're listening to this episode. And my passion is helping people to bring a connection and the sex life they always dreamed of.
Yes, thank you so much. And I think this is such an important topic to talk on because, one, it still seems like it's taboo in the country to talk about things. And when people don't talk about it, they end up frustrated, I think.
Absolutely. Especially when you're in relationships.
Yeah, and we're not taught how to talk about it and express that. So before we jump into maybe one of our first things, are there any maybe tips you can give to any of our listeners who may feel exactly what I said? Like, I want to tell my husband about my fantasy or whatever. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I think sometimes people think that the good sex life in a relationship, it just happens out of nowhere. Most people initially, when they meet each other, there's just so much, they experience so much excitement because of the novelty of the relationship. But as we're going through different seasons of our relationship, it's really important to invest time and energy in our relationship. So the first tip that I have for people is like, if your sex life requires an effort, there's nothing wrong with that. It's important for you to prioritize your sex life. That's my first tip. And second tip is that think about everyone's erotic template is different. The fact that you might have a different sexual script than your partner, your fantasy is different, there is nothing wrong with that. And the key to building an exciting sex life for couples is to co-create this script that works for everyone.
Yes, that is so interesting. And I love that. And my wife was just asking me similarly, because we were talking about something like the five love languages, right?
Yeah.
And she said something, could there possibly be a, what'd you say, was a sex language?
A sex language, yeah.
Because people sometimes will leave a relationship and they're so in tune with their past partner and they expect their new partner to kind of be like that.
Just to kind of replace it and like live up to those expectations. Yeah. What do you suggest for those people who are looking for that and don't get it?
Right. That's such an important point you brought, Candide, is that people sometimes we want to duplicate what we have in the past with someone else. I always tell my clients it's like our sexual experiences with different people is like a book. Now you're reading a new book. if your effort is to recreate the past one, you might get disappointed. But it's important to be present with your current lover and kind of think about, okay, what are some of the strengths that my partner and I share right now? Maybe in the past, there were things that was coming easier with a past partner, but with this new partner, this is a new person to explore new things with. So it's important to treat every relationship as like a new story. There might be a genre of the stories that you're interested in, but even in the within the same genre, there are different scripts. So it's really important to approach it with a kind of a new eyes and kind of explore this new partner as a new story.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that leads us into one of our first subjects. So
So for someone, let's say, going through emotional cheating, what are some ways that they can work to reconnect their partner?
That's a great question.
Whether they're together for a year or 5 years or 20 years even. You know, when we were together for so long, sometimes we kind of drift off. What's some ways for us to reconnect emotionally?
That is unfortunately common in relationship, right? And I think first it's important to define what is cheating, what is sexual cheating, and what is emotional cheating. I tell all of my clients, it's really important to talk to your partner about your relationship agreement. Something that might be okay for you might not be okay for your partner. For example, people who are in a monogamous relationship, they think that when they say monogamy, they have the same definition. But for someone, monogamous relationship means that maybe like my body and my mind and my heart is with you. But for some people, it might mean that you are the person I have sex with, but we can have sexual fantasies about other people, or we can bring those fantasies in the bedroom. So my first invitation for all of your listeners to talk about the definition of cheating and define those boundaries with the partner. And something that I might share, and it might be, I'm going to share, and it might be controversial, is that it's common for people, especially in long-term relationship, to think about other people, fantasize about other people. That's a way that our mind brings novelty and excitement to the relationship. So if your partner perhaps at times fantasize about other people, or you're watching, like you're finding them, catching them, watching different types of porn, that can be completely normal. But then, like what many of my clients define as emotional cheating is when their partner develops this very close emotional bond with someone else. So they share the parts of themselves that it's agreed to be exclusively for them, right? Like maybe you're talking about the private things with this third person, or maybe kind of you're expressing love and affection. And some studies shows that for some people, that is actually more painful than sexual infidelity. So it's important to understand if that was your history, coming from the place of understanding of where is this coming from, right? If you violated clearly the agreement that you have with your partner, and you engage in an emotional betrayal, it's important to own it. If that is the case, that you truly know that you violated the boundaries, and kind of think about what were you searching there. So one of the very interesting research studies, it shows that when people go outside the relationship, sometimes it's possible that that is about us developing a bond with someone else, but majority of time, it's we want to experience a part of ourselves that we used to experience. For example, maybe you were a fun, loving person, but now in the relationship, because of the stage of life, you're no longer that person. So maybe for you, this kind of like a journey of exploration comes from the idea of, okay, maybe I need to work on changing my identity or changing on my lifestyle so I can experience that. And I think it's transparency and accountability is really, really important. Whenever people coming for recovering from cheating, whether it's emotional or physical, it's really important for the partner who betrayed the partner, kind of like be honest and take accountability, and also set themselves up for building a kind of like protection in the relationship. because many times for some couples, it is about, okay, you betrayed my trust, but it's more about how do I know you're not going to do it in future? So I think understanding yourself and setting boundaries with yourself and people outside the relationship could be part of it. Did I answer your question?
No, absolutely, because I think
he did more than answer it.
More like on a level where we share those experiences together when mm-hmm. we're intimate, and you know, we watch porn, we love watching, and we kind of bring that act into the bedroom with us. Yeah. So I think that kind of spices us up.
And a lot of the things you said really hit home, because yeah. I think the communication is absolutely key. Like when you were talking, someone who maybe was a fun person and now they're not. If you maybe speak to your partner and say, hey, you know what, I miss this little part, miss little portion, then they might be more open-minded and non-judgmental. Yeah. And I think that kind of segues into what I was going to mention in a second, is because it can maybe bring a little bit of resentment. Yeah, and then someone absolutely. Can start using that as a weapon, right? Hey, I don't get to go out and have as much fun, so now I'm going to withhold sex because you're not maybe doing something with us.
I
need you to kind of go into that and let the listeners know that could be a dangerous thing, you think, if you're starting to use sex as a weapon?
Absolutely, right? Because that can build resentment and frustration in the relationship. I know we're going to talk about desire discrepancy, but sometimes when I work with couples, there's not necessarily desire discrepancy. The other person wants to withhold sex or intentionally withhold sex because they are mad at their partner, or they feel powerless outside their bedroom, and that's a way for them to claim their power. And that leads to so much friction in the relationship and really change the relational dynamic. So it's important to kind of think about what is happening in my life, in my relationship, that leads me to think that this is the area that's the only area that I have power. And also, sex is a place of playfulness for most couples. So when you're taking that away, then you change your relational dynamic to a roommate at best. Right, you want to be a lover to your partner, but if you withhold sex and there's now resentment, at best you can be a cordial roommate, and that's not what most people want. And look how we treat each other in the bedroom; it really can impact how we show up in the outside the kind of bedroom as well. So it can not only impact people's sex life, but it's really going to impact the relationship.
Absolutely.
Dropping bombs
that.
Here, ladies and gentlemen. And you kind of brought right there what I was thinking about, because you mentioned it at first about the sex drive differences. And that's very different than withholding it intentionally. But again, that goes back into the communication, maybe just letting your partner know, hey, you know what? Right now, my drive isn't as high. Because if you don't say that, or in some form or fashion, your partner is going to start maybe a little insecurity creeps in. Oh my goodness, he doesn't want to have sex with me. But no, it may be something hormonal, or maybe something just different.
Absolutely.
So any advice for the listeners who want to approach their partner and say something like that?
Absolutely. I tell people that when we're saying like a low desire partner, it's all relative, right? We might be low desire in this partnership or relationship, but in another relationship, we might be a higher desire partner. So it's important to think about when there is a desire issue, it's a relational challenge. Like when people come for sex therapy, we treat it as a relational issue. So, and with the low desire, there's just so many options that people can kind of think about. One is, what is the reason for my low desire? For some people, it could be, I know I said like it's a relationship issue, but for some people, it could be part of it, the kind of issues with the individual person. Maybe you have a medical condition, or maybe you are in different stages of life, whether it's on the kind of like menopause, or you have a illness like cancer, or like MS. There are so many things that can impact our desire level. Or maybe it's psychological for us. Maybe our stress level is so high, or maybe we're experiencing depression, anxiety. It might have those things might impact our desire level. And it's important to kind of think about how are we going to navigate it? Because for people who are in a monogamous relationship, the agreement is that I'm going to satisfy my sexual desire within this relationship. And if one person for a long period of time, they don't want to have sex or they're not in the mood, then that can create some challenges. So my invitation for people is to think about, what is the reason for my low desire? Is it psychological? Is it physiological? Or is it relational? Many times what I see in many couples is the person doesn't want to have sex with the other person because they feel disappointed from their partner. Maybe there's a history of betrayal that they haven't worked through it. Or perhaps it could be the feeling that my partner doesn't have my back. So that also I see a lot in my practice that impact people's desire level. Identifying the cause of it is important. And also talking to your partner about kind of creating a sexual health plan. How are we going to navigate this? Because it's really important to make sure that you are together working over the plan that will be workable for both. One thing that sometimes people don't know about it, there's two type of desire model. One is spontaneous desire, like that's what most people are familiar with. Maybe you during the day, like out of blue, you're experiencing sexual desire, or you're watching something and then out of the blue, you're experiencing sexual desire. For some people, they have responsive desire. So what responsive desire is that regardless of where you are, most of the time you're at neutral. Like when you first arousal needs to come and then desire follows. Maybe you can start with kind of like foreplaying, kissing, touching, and then after doing that, then the desire might show up. So for those people, it's important to give yourself space for your body to get prepared. And as you mentioned, Lyne, it's all about communication. Kind of communicating with your partner, your desire type, and also what you need to be able to be sexually open.
That is dropping bombs. Ladies and gentlemen, yes. You're listening to this. We're going to get her information so you can get on her website and find out some more things and get in touch with her. But it feels such, a release, because I always talk about in life or in sex, we don't have a manual.
Yeah, right.
We don't know. And so we just expect.
Everyone's different within their sex life of what they expect or what they want from each other or even from themselves. Since I'm getting older, I'll be 45, my sex drive, I feel, is getting higher. Men's tend to lower as they get older. Yeah. What do you suggest with couples that are getting older in their 40s, 50s? What do you suggest to them to help them improve or kind of balance or whatever it is to let them know or communicate? What's your advice to those people?
One of the things that I always talk to my clients about is having sexy, like recurrent sexy happy hour on your calendar. Sexy happy hour is like a time maybe once a month or once a week that you and your partner wear something sexy and you're talking about your sexual life. It could be like every Friday night for 30 minutes, we're talking about our sexual life. We're talking about what's working and what do we want more of. Because sometimes, you know, it's interesting when we're younger, if we're thinking about sex as a point system, it's come from one of my colleagues, Dr. Batshiva, that she talks about sex as a point system. Like before, 100% of your points were coming from physiological desire, right? Like the hormone was high and then perhaps you wanted to have sex. But now there are like, you can kind of like make it up to the 100 points by kind of like investing on the relational part of things, emotional part of things, communication. And as we're older, for many people, they become kind of more open to communicating and owning their desire. I think that is very important. And sometimes one of the things that you guys mentioned that was important, that there's not one definition of sex. Everyone is different. It's really, really important to be flexible. Sex could be whatever you want it to be. right? That unless you want to have children, you don't need to have penis vaginal penetration. It could be like you guys reading porn together, watching things or watching people, or it could be using a sex toy. The idea is like, this is the time for us to invest on our kind of erotic energy of the relationship and recharging that. So the more flexible that your definition of sex is and sexual script is, the better sexual experiences you will have long term.
No, absolutely. I love that. I think we're very in tuned.
Yeah. And this
everything
is
that
great.
You've described, I feel like we've been tuned or incorporated a lot of that within our relationship. Right. And it has helped tremendously with our communication and everything, like you said, everything outside of the bedroom, it has helped with that as well. So I think that's awesome advice.
Right. And we're getting ready to wrap up, ladies and gentlemen, and we're getting ready to end this beautiful talk with Dr. Moali. But I wanted to say something also, and I think you can maybe do this, touch on this in your final words, is in during that talk, I think a very important thing is to listen without the desire to be heard back.
Yeah.
And without
Absolutely.
Judgment, right? Because you're saying, hey, sit down on a Friday and talk or read a book and discuss, hey, my version. But if your partner tells you a desire or fantasy, right, you can't attack them because now they do not want to say anything back.
Yeah.
Last thoughts on that.
You brought up such an important point. When it comes to sexual fantasies, sometimes people say like sexual communication. I don't know what to say. We never talked about it. I tell them, let's start talking about your sexual fantasies. When we're sharing our sexual fantasies, we're sharing it with expectation that there is no expectation, right? I'm just sharing this with you. And I often tell people that like, if we're thinking about three layers of fantasies, this is a recurring conversation. Maybe if we never had the conversation before, we're starting with the outer layer. Maybe things that we might talk to our best friend about it. Things that doesn't feel very personal, but like kind of like things that are we haven't shared with our partner, and to test and see like what's going to happen. So to practice this communication, if you are at the receiving part of this communication, it's important to think about there is no pressure on you to do anything. The idea, in fact, I tell people that all you're doing is like really listening to your partner, and you're summarizing what they're saying. Right. So like your partner knows that you're hearing them. And then if you are interested, you can ask, say like, okay, tell me more about this part of it or tell me more about that part of it. What I find is that sometimes just talking about our fantasies can recharge our relationship, even if we're not doing anything about it. Because what kills desire in long-term relationship is that sometimes people think that they know their partner. They think that, okay, I know their thoughts and moves, and I just like, that's not exciting. But when we discover the part of our partner that we haven't heard about or haven't met before, that can be very exciting. So it's a practice that the more you do it, the better you'll get at it.
Man, this is like, I can't even say it. So
I love it.
For the listeners out there who may want to get in touch with you or maybe find some way to get some of your services and find out, hey, you know what? I feel like I have something that I wanted to talk to her about. How can they get in touch with you? And I know you said you have a podcast, so let them know about it too.
Yes, we and love... I listened to some of it, and I think it's an amazing...
Yes, we did listen to it. We love listening and learning, no matter what stage in life we are. But let the people know, you know, where they can find you at, what you're about, and then we'll get ready to wrap it up.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So my podcast is called Sexology Podcast, and you can listen to wherever you're listening to this this show. And every week, it's either myself and a guest, or which is often the researchers or the therapist, sex therapist. We're talking about the topic around the science of sex and pleasure. We're trying to keep it scientifically based, but fun. So I've been doing it for 6 years. So there are tons of topics we already covered. So you can check it out either on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or you can check it out on my website, sexologypodcast.com. And if you're interested in individual therapy or coaching, you can find my information either on sexologypodcast.com or oasistocare.com.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. We are extremely excited. Dr. Moley, we're going to get out of here and get you out of here because we know you've got some people who probably got some questions for it, right? So I'll ask you just to hold it for 1 second while we do a little housekeeping and we get ready to end this show. So thank you so much in just 1 second, Dr. Moley. Appreciate that. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Married with Benefits. I am Lion.
I am Candy.
We sincerely appreciate it. And until we swing again. Yeah, yeah.